Blog Talk Radio.
This is a message from the CDC. Travel increases your chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. Take steps to protect yourself and others. Wear a mask that completely covers your nose and mouth. Masks are required on planes, buses, trains, and other forms of public transportation traveling into, within, or outside of the U.S. and in U.S. transportation hubs such as airports and stations. Stay at least 6 feet away from others. Wash your hands often and watch for symptoms of COVID-19. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19travel to learn more.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report's Sunday edition, Super Bowl edition. So many of us are excited for Super Bowl Sunday and Valentine's Day as we also continue to celebrate Black History Month. So there are a lot of holidays this month. I am so happy. I'm so delighted. Two of my favorite people are here as we host the show together. Cousin Linda, Oliver, we had so much fun last Sunday's first broadcast on a Sunday. And yay! And yay! Pizza and beer ready, huh?
Who else is there?
And
it's me, Michael.
My friend Michael, I must introduce you to on air. You see your names and your tags. My late night co-host, Cousin Linda, Michael Stevens Jr. I have a Michael now, Cousin Linda.
Hey, Michael.
Hello. Hello, how are you?
I'm just peachy keen. How are you?
Fine. I love you guys' accent.
Oh, okay. And where are you from, Michael?
I'm from Washington, D.C.
Okay. Okay, yes. We have Southern accents.
You know what? And let me tell you this little story. I told Bethany that I had a friend, Josiah, who is from Mississippi, I think Clinton, Mississippi. And when I met him at church or whatever, you could not hear his accent. But, like, sometimes when you hear him talk, you could hear him trying to hide it. And one day I heard it heavy because he was talking to his brother. And I'm like, dude, you are really from Mississippi, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I never try to hide my accent. I didn't know I had one. Several people told me way back when I was in high school that I had an accent. Well,
what part of
there's
Mississippi
nothing I can do
from?
About it. I'm from Jackson also.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. That's cool. People seem nice down there.
We are a very nice bunch of people in Mississippi. Some of the friendliest people I've ever met are from Mississippi.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah. And even when I'm over here in Texas and I run across somebody from Mississippi, it's, hey, homie, because I wear Jackson State T-shirts and sweatshirts occasionally when I'm out at the mall or at a grocery store or something. And as soon as somebody recognizes it, it's like we've known each other for I don't know how long. We'll have at least a 5-minute conversation talking about Mississippi.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet. And, you know, we could use that up here in the D.C. area because I'm telling you, some people are, like, unfriendly and just, like, rude. And, you know, I hope in a way that you don't, if you have never come up to the D.C. area, I hope that you kind of just have tougher skin because when you speak to people, some people look at you like you're crazy.
Somebody posted on Facebook. At least I saw it a few minutes ago. It's like when you're out walking, do you speak to people? And I put on there, no, you don't do that here in Dallas. For number one, everybody's in. It seems like they're in their own world. They're not even thinking about anybody else. So we just don't acknowledge each other. But I was in D.C. I think in 2018. And people seemed to be kind of friendly because we didn't know where we were going. We were staying at the Renaissance Hotel, which was convenient to a lot of places that we could walk to. And if we'd stop people on the street, for the most part, they were very friendly and tried to help us.
Hmm. That's interesting. But, you know, like, I'm just amazed at how friendly some people are from down south. I've only been to like a few states down south because I have not traveled outside of the East Coast. I've been to South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Georgia, and you know, it's just like some people will really have conversations with you down there. But you know, when I think of Texas, I was surprised when I heard you say Dallas, Texas. People are they're in their own little world, because when I think of Texas, I think that's some of the friendliest people. They want you to come down and they'll cook for you and everything. I'm like, what planet you live on? I mean, so, you know, I think you can learn a lot of things from going to different states in this country, because, you know, manners change when you travel the country, you know?
Yeah, well, I live in a predominantly white area, so that's one of the reasons I don't, you know, it's just not expected. And I don't know, and you have a lot of transplants here as well, so they may be from the north, because I did meet a lot of people from the north when I first moved here. Uh-huh. Everybody was moving to the Dallas area because it was boomtown at that time. And I think it's just, you know, the culture. Southerners, we've always been very friendly and believe in that speaking. You know, you pass by somebody, hey, how you doing, or good morning, or whatever. So it's a cultural thing, but I think it depends on the neighborhood. Now, perhaps if I were in a predominantly black area, we might would speak, but no, not up here in Carrollton, actually.
Oh, wow.
It's just not a cultural thing, I think. I didn't dare speak about it. Every now and then, now sometimes when I was out walking during heavy COVID time back in 2020, I would see a couple of white guys out walking, or maybe walking their dogs or something. Maybe one out of five would say good morning or acknowledge me. But I certainly didn't, you know, speak to them first.
Oh, wow. Wow. So let me ask you this, and let me tell you another reason why I'm a little bit – another reason why I'm a little bit skeptical of, like, visiting Mississippi, and Bethany tells me all the time. She says, you know, oh, we're nice as can be, but, you know, when I think of Mississippi, I think of the Deep South, and I think of, like, how there's, like, there could be racism down there, and that's what I was hearing, like you say, in between the lines and stuff. You know, that there's like heavy racism down in the South.
Well, I found heavy racism everywhere.
Oh.
Not just the South. Yeah, I experienced it in Detroit, Michigan, Southern California, Hong Kong. I mean, when you're a black person, It's just a worldwide thing that you are going to, somebody is going to be a bigot. And it's the way of the world.
Mm.
And I think, you know, people watch the news and everything, and I've met people from foreign countries here. And when they come to this country, they have heard that the Negro is at the bottom of the totem pole, on the bottom rung of the ladder, and you can treat them any kind of way. Because a lot of people, you know, from different countries are business owners, especially in the convenience stores and service stations. And they bring that prejudice and bigotry with them. And, you know, you have to kind of let them know that, look, I'm not going to take this. I won't spend my money with you if you don't treat me with respect.
Wow. You know, and not to talk so much about racism, because let me tell you something. I am so tired of hearing about racism. I'm telling you, it's the way of the world. But my granddaddy Stevens, he just passed away on, let's see, Christmas Day of 2020. And he lived in his house from 1966 to 2020, until his death. He told me that he has never experienced racism, but he has witnessed it, okay? So when he first bought that house, he told me that on the front of the property, it said, "This house is not to be purchased by anybody with any Negro blood." And this was like 1966. And I'm like, wow. And you know, and I was shocked that granddaddy had never experienced, you know, racism. And he always said to me, he said this, and it sticks to my head. He said his father told him, if you act like an ass, you'll get treated like an ass. So in a lot of ways, it comes home to what he said, you know, like apparently these times that we're living in are very racist, but I've never experienced it, you know, maybe subtly, but, you know, I just always, you know, act the way I'm supposed to act. I don't act all boisterous and crazy, you know, but I go along with my manners like I was taught. So I guess that would play a part in it, but I hope I never experience them.
I hate to interrupt you, but it's funny you bring that up because I was speaking to a young lady who's from Togo, Africa, the other day, and she said that she's been in this country 11 years and she's never experienced racism. And I had to tell her that I've had other black people tell me that, and I told her, you don't realize you've experienced racism. You probably don't know that it's occurring to you. You've experienced it. If you are black and in this country, trust me, you've experienced it. You've come in contact with some white person somewhere who has, even if they don't outwardly show it, mentally they're thinking that you are lesser than. It's part and parcel of what goes on in this country. And a lot of people misconfuse racism with prejudice and bigotry. See, a lot of black people will say, well, I'm a racist. No, you're not, because you don't control anything. We don't control anything in this country. People don't realize it, but unless the master okays something, we're not going to get anything. Because white people hadn't participated in the civil rights movement, I don't think we would have gained any of the so-called, I'll say, privileges that we have. Now, I'm not going to call them rights, because I was back there during the civil rights movement, and there were a lot of white people and a lot of Jewish people who helped in the civil rights movement. I think if it had just been blacks only, I don't think we would have gotten anywhere.
And
because
you know what?
In making the laws and changing laws and what have you.
And you know what? Let me tell you something. And there's a show that I try not to listen to. It's a good show, but if I keep listening to it in Maryland, I'm going to get depressed. So you remember the infamous January 6th, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So they said, and even though they found out there was like one black person in it, can you imagine if we as black people partook in activities like that we would, you know, bodies would be hitting the floor, you know, people would be dead, that right there, that day is an example of white privilege.
Yeah. We wouldn't have been alive to tell anybody.
Yeah,
folks would have been mowed down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you talk about going in and desecrating flags in the U.S. Capitol Police, sitting on the speaker's desk and putting your feet, hang Mike Pence? Oh, no. They wouldn't even thought about it. With reckless abandon, we would have just been shot dead.
Yeah, so you know, that says a lot. And then, well, Whoopi Goldberg, I know you probably heard about that. Me and Bethany are like livid over this. You know, Whoopi Goldberg being suspended from The View over her Jewish comments, saying that the Holocaust was not about race. And you know, you have people like Joe Rogan going around saying the N word, but yet Spotify, they love him. You know, Spotify will have him on, you know, their platform, and therefore a lot of other artists have taken their music off. But it just says a lot, you know. And I know people say those two incidents are not the same, but they are. They are. They are.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, yeah. Where's Bethany at, by the way, anyway? She's quiet.
Yes, Bethany. Where is Bethany?
I don't know. Let me tell you something. I think that her microphone was having issues or whatever, but, you know, I know that I have been in that situation before with her where her microphone stopped working and she was having technical difficulties, but I guess we can probably run the show. But other than the race topic, how has things been for you?
So far, okay. I have no complaints. I made it through COVID, and I think maybe I might have had a mild case during the Christmas holidays, but
mm-hmm.
I quarantined myself for about 7 days. I stayed inside, didn't go out, didn't do anything, took cold medicine and got over that. But
mm-hmm.
other than that, I'm fine. How about you?
I'm fine. You know, a funny thing around Thanksgiving time, I caught a little bit of a cold. I could smell. I could smell, and I could taste and everything. But I had a runny nose. But it just went away for a couple of days. I just had it for a couple of days, and it went away.
Yeah, I was saying I didn't have COVID because I could taste and smell. And my friend's sister was a director of nursing at a hospital here in Dallas. And she said, well, that didn't mean you didn't have COVID just because you could taste and smell. So, but when I got tested finally, I was negative. So I said, well, I don't know. Maybe it was just a bad cold, but it didn't act like a cold to me because I had horrible aches and pains and I was very tired. So somebody said, well, maybe it was the flu. But whatever it was, I'm over it and I'm happy.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So, so are you going to watch are you going to watch the Super Bowl?
Yes, I'm preparing. I have my food out as we speak, so you'll hear me munching. I hate to do this because I was hoping Beth would be carrying on with the show. I try to usually wait until at least kickoff before I start eating, but I'm so hungry and I put on Facebook, I can't wait till the game starts. I got to eat right now because I'm hungry.
Yeah, and you know what, the funny thing, I got to watch out what I eat because, you know, one of my best friends, and I'm so thankful to have this guy as a friend, he is starting an exercise business. It's called, and to the listeners, it's called Transformation Collective. And he's a personal trainer, and so he put me on this experiment workout plan for like 2 weeks, and I just came off of my second week. And so, you know, I was doing the exercise, and let me tell you, some of the exercises are difficult. Whew, it is difficult, but the end result is very worth it. I mean, I have been in a better mood since I could think of this season, you know, because I was kind of in a down mood. Like in January-ish, and then he came out with that program, and, you know, he calls himself a healer, my friend Josh, and he calls himself a healer, and that kind of worries me that he would take on that burden, but, you know, we all got to learn. He cares very deeply for people, but, you know, he has his own personal training group, and I've been trying to give him clients and stuff that he could deal with virtually, and he also has a yoga. I don't know how you feel about yoga, because I know a lot of people down south, not all people, feel it's demonic. There's some circles that feel it's demonic, but he has yoga.
Crazy preachers tell him that.
Yeah.
That's in tune with the devil if you practice yoga.
Yeah. So I don't think that. I personally don't think that. I think that, you know, once it's kind of a spiritual enlightenment and everything. So he has a program in Annapolis, Maryland called Acoustic Movement. And his business partner is named Josh. And his name is Josh, too. So while Josh plays his music, because Josh plays the guitar and sings and everything, and he tells the customers or the attendees of the class is what move to make. So it's a creative it's a creative concept. That's what mm-hmm. I meant. And what was you gonna say?
I was just gonna say I really wanted to participate in yoga. I was having some really bad aches and pains back in the 90s, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I was going to an acupuncturist who helped me a whole lot, and he told me to enroll in yoga classes that would help. But mm-hmm. I was in such bad shape when I joined the yoga class, and I thought it was a beginner's class, but they had all levels in there. And I would talk to the instructor, and I told her I wasn't able to keep up because when they were doing downward facing dogs and on the floor and I was down there, I couldn't get up, and if I got up, I couldn't get down. And mm-hmm. she was saying, well, don't worry about it. You know, you'll catch up. And I said, no, I enrolled in a beginner's class, not one of these mixed classes. So after 3 weeks, I had to drop out. I just felt like I was wasting my time and money. And I tried to join other yoga classes, but when I call and leave a voicemail, nobody returns my call. So I finally gave up on it. But I would love to take yoga.
Yeah, and you know, and it's funny that you said it because I have been talking to Josh, both Joshes, about the business going online, and they say they have thought about it, and I have a feeling they haven't had that much time because both of them are very busy. So what I mm-hmm. will do for the listeners, I will talk to Josh about that, and I will when he gives me like the Zoom links, I will definitely. You know, provide that information to Bethany and to the listeners and stuff, because I think it will help a lot of people. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it's going to be a good year for both Joshes. And I just have faith in that. I have faith in that their business and their everything is going to, you know, flourish and everything, because, you know, I've been knowing Josh for like 6 years, my friend Josh Tuff, for nearly 6 years, and he has grown a lot. And, you know, and the one thing I'm learning from him is that you have to focus on business, you know, right now.
Yeah.
Because the one thing about it is that the one thing that COVID taught us is that these jobs that we have, they're so temporary, you know. Before mm-hmm. I was, yeah. Before it all happened, you know, I was working two jobs and everything, and I lost both of them because of COVID. And one of the jobs told me to come back, but the thing is, where it was at, it was a COVID hotspot. So I said no. So what I did is I had looked for another job, and then I found one. And the one thing I can definitely say that helped me through. The COVID, the pandemic, was having gratitude, you know, being grateful for mm-hmm. everything that you have, because, you know, I'm a firm believer that when you are grateful for what you have, you will attract more. So that's mm-hmm. what, that's, and that, and my job, me having that job, this job that I have right now is mm-hmm. evidence of it. Yeah. Yeah.
And my mouth is full of pizza right now. But,
it's okay.
COVID wasn't as bad for me job-wise because I had a job that I absolutely hated, and they let my department go. They let all of us go in the telemarketing department. And that was really a blessing because I never, ever wanted to teach school. But after COVID, when I finally decided to go back to work, I'm substitute teaching. And I like it. It's not, you know, a bed of roses, but I enjoy that much more than doing what I was doing because I'm supposed to be retired, but I couldn't live on my retirement income.
Uh-huh,
so I
uh-huh.
went on extra. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And that telemarketing job was one of many that I'd had since I actually retired.
Mm-hmm,
but I
mm-hmm.
hated it. And then when they let us go, I think everybody in our department that got let go thought it was a blessing. You know, we were relieved because there were very few people in that department who actually liked what we were doing.
Uh-huh. So, right now I'm receiving messages from Bethany right now, and she told me to ask you, what team are you, rooting for?
I have no dog in this hunt, as they say, but I'm going to pull for the Bengals.
Oh, okay. She said right now she's working on her mic. She's working on her mic, so you should probably hear her soonish or whatever. So, but yeah,
she
that's
hurry up and come back.
I know, because I have a feeling it's going to be a lot fun, more fun than with her in and everything. But I only went to when it comes to Super Bowls and stuff, I don't really watch it like that. I remember back in 2014, I was over at my friend Karen's house. And she has – I love her house. I really do love her house because she – her house is kind of this ocean. She likes the beach. And she has, a beach-themed house. And
ooh.
I was like, I love her house. I mean, really. And she's from California, too. So she knows – so she knows all about the beach. So she has seashells in her living room, seashells in her basement. I'm like, this is a nice thing. So, it's given me, inspiration for when I get my own place, I should have a theme, thinking that when it does happen, I should get a house based off of spring because my birthday is on the first day of spring. And, So, that was thinking of that. But what I was saying was that she had back in 2014, she had a Super Bowl party at her house, and it was the most fun I've ever had watching, football and such,
mm-hmm.
It's just when you have people to watch it with and when you're enjoying their company, it makes it that much better. But other than that, I could care less, no offense, about, football.
I used to be a huge football fan. Years ago, I had teams that I just loved, and when I moved to Dallas, I had three teams. I was a Houston Oilers fan, Dallas Cowboys, and Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think the Steelers were my number one pick.
When
I moved to Dallas, I said, I cannot be a fan of three different teams living in Dallas, so I chose the Cowboys, and I was a huge Cowboys fan for many, many, many years. I was not upset with Jerry Jones when he fired Tom Landry. I thought it was time for Tom Landry to go.
Uh-huh.
At first year.
Okay. You there?
Who, Beth?
No, you.
yeah, I'm here. I thought you told me to hold on.
Oh, no. You're fine. You can keep going.
Okay. Yeah, and so that first year after they fired Tom Landry and Jerry Jones had bought the team and Jimmy Johnson was the coach, I think they won one game. And people here were furious. It's like you don't fire Tom Landry. He's a god. He walks on water. You can't get rid of Tom Landry. But I stuck by the Cowboys. And then that second season, I don't know if they won a Super Bowl, but anyway, under Jimmy Johnson, they were doing great. And I know they won two Super Bowls with him as coach. And then Jerry Jones decided to fire Jimmy Johnson, and that kind of deflated my balloon that I had for the Cowboys. And then Barry Switzer came along, and they won a Super Bowl. I really like Barry Switzer, but he left. And then the Cowboys, I don't know what Jerry Jones was doing. He was around here wanting to build this humongous stadium and displaced a lot of people, took their homes. And I don't know, he's just on this ego trip, and it seems like he just can't get enough money. He wants to be in the billionaire boys club or something. And
mm-hmm.
I don't follow the Cowboys like I used to. In fact, I fell out with them, and I got all this Cowboys memorabilia in my apartment.
Uh-huh.
And, but I'm just not a fan of that team anymore. And it seems like the NFL, I said this way before this Flores guy came out about fixing games, telling him to lose games. So that's what I always felt about the Cowboys, not always, but I would be watching these games, and what little I know about football, I'd be saying, it looks to me like the Cowboys should have won this game, but they deliberately lost. Because in boxing, they call it, you know, taking a dive when a boxer is told to lose a fight deliberately. And that's what it looks like was going on in some of the Dallas Cowboys games to me. And, of course, I couldn't get anybody to see what I was saying. It's like, oh, that's ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous. And then when this guy comes out and says that he was told to, you know, lose some games, and I said, yeah, I believe that goes on not just with Miami Dolphins. I think that goes on with some other teams, and it definitely looks like that's what happened to the Dallas Cowboys to me, because they were losing games that I don't see how in the world they could have lost them. But I'm not a football fan anymore. I don't watch football, but I do like the idea of the Super Bowl, mainly because I usually would watch halftime. But I'm not even excited about halftime this year. I don't want to see a bunch of old rap artists.
And Bethany told me to ask you, what are your favorite Super Bowl foods?
Pizza and beer. I've been doing this about 25 years now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. That's interesting. But you know, I thought of two things when you were telling your story about the fixed games and everything. And you know, I said earlier on that I'm from the DC area. And you know, I have to say that the football team in DC area, to me, and I hope nobody comes and bite my head off and say, well, as I say this, but it is an embarrassment. I mean, really, it is. It's, you know, I think I can remember the last time that the Redskins won a game. The last time I think they won a game that I can remember, because like I said, I don't really care about football, was back in 2003 when I was a senior in high school. You know, I remember that. I remember they won a game or something. And I know that they have been going on these games, but they haven't been winning. And I know right now that they're not the Redskins anymore because they went through a whole name change or whatnot.
Yeah, they're Commanders now.
Yeah, the Suspenders. You said the Suspenders or Senators or what? The Commanders. Okay. So, you know, I think that I don't know. I don't know what to say about that name, but yeah. Yeah, I just think that the football team is kind of sorry. No offense. Because I don't want people to come up and, you know, bite my head off because I insulted my home city. And I'm like, you know, it's because it's been forever since they've won a game.
Some people will kill you about their team. They'll quit speaking to you if you say bad things about their team. But I always thought it was in good fun to talk about the other fellow's team, because I had a real, real dear friend that lives in San Francisco, and he was a huge 49ers fan. And me being in Dallas at the time, I was a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. And we used to just go at each other's throats, but it was in good fun. The Cowboys and the 49ers used to play each other. I see the Cowgirls and all that, and I forgot what I call the 49ers. But some people just, you know, they can't take that. They don't run in games. They want to kill you if you say something bad about their team.
Yeah, I remember when I was in high school back in, I was in 11th grade, like the spring of 2003. And so one day these boys, it was like at breakfast, and one day these boys were arguing over basketball games, right? And next thing I know, the kids got to fighting, and I'm like over a basketball game. Come on now, over a basketball game. Come on now, these people getting paid like thousands of millions of dollars, and you're up there fighting over them. You know?
Yeah, they don't know you from Adam, but you want to fight somebody because, you know, they disagree with you about your team or whatever. It's crazy.
Yeah, so that's why I say in some ways sports and politics I try to stay away from. But, you know, we're living in such a time where, you know, where if you talk about politics, even though it needs to be talked about, but I just say that in general with people who I don't know, I don't talk about politics, you know. So, So, yeah, I just try to stay away from it. But I got to say that what's going on right now with the banning of the books and everything, it's really scary, you know?
It is.
They just banned Maws. I don't know if you're familiar with that book, and it's a book. It's like a graphic novel that was based off the Holocaust. And I read it when I was in a senior in high school, and it was an interesting book. But to ban it, it's almost like it's like certain powers that be are scared of something, you know?
Yes. This reminds me of totalitarianism back in the communist and socialist days when they started banning books and burning books. And it's a slow way of taking absolute control. And so many people don't seem to realize that in this country, when you start banning books, you take away a person's right to think, because you don't want them to have their own opinions. You know, I may not agree with you, but I would think that to your own opinion. But if I can't read the book I want to read because you find something wrong with it, that's not a democracy.
Yeah, it's not. And you know what, and it's kind of funny that we're having this talk because I'm thinking of my mentor and who was my former teacher as well. His name is Rick Leaf. And so at the school I go to, I had him last semester, like in the fall of 2021, and we did a banned books project. And I had so much fun being able to talk to people and ask people about and people asking me about the book that I chose. And let me tell you something that's kind of ironic. So one day, like in 2016, I don't know if you remember the summer of 2016 when a whole bunch of black men were getting killed by the police or whatever. And it was a book that I had just picked up from the library. I can't think of the name of it, but it's on the tip of my tongue or whatever. So that book that I had got was a banned book, and I chose it not realizing I had it in my closet for 5 years. And they said that the book was banned because it was too realistic and it was too negative. It gave a negative view of the police and all this other stuff. And, I usually don't like reading books about like stuff about, you know, of that nature, about, police brutality against black people, because I mean, let me tell you something. You listen to the news, they will have you afraid to be in your own skin. I'm telling you, you know. So, I just try to stay away from stuff like that. But I did read it. I did read the book, and a lot of people were interested about what the book was about, and I'm kind of glad that my teacher did have us read banned books, you know, because it just shows you to stand firm in your beliefs, you know. And the way we're living right now, I wouldn't be surprised if there is going to be some protests and there's going to be some wars, you know, really. And I was watching The View the other day, and Adam Kinzinger was on The View, and he was like, he would not be surprised if another civil war happened. And that's sad that you have to say that.
Yeah, I can kind of see that coming off, because have people who are armed to the teeth, who are so anti-establishment, I guess, or anti the left. They make up all these lies, and you have these crazy idiots who believe all the lies, like Hillary Clinton was promoting child pornography in the basement of a pizza parlor, and some deranged lunatic came there with his gun ready to kill people. So, I'm sure you've seen on the news where all these crazy lies are out there, like Joe Biden is furnishing crack pipes to black people.
It's not funny, but what? That sounds like some Fox News stuff.
Well, there's Fox News, Newsmax, and all these other podcasts and things. They really believe that the Biden administration is giving black people crack pipes.
Oh, well, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, like the last few days.
Yeah, you know, like I said, whenever whenever I see Fox News, I just kind of don't pay it any attention, because all it is, I'm not saying all of their viewers are angry, but if you think of it, most of their viewers are angry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're angry, and they don't like people that don't look like them, if you get what I'm saying. So, what'd you say?
Oh, I was just going to say, when Fox first aired, way back in whenever, I used to watch, it was Hannity and Combs at the time, Sean Hannity and Alan Combs. And Alan Combs was the, I guess, antithesis to Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity was far, and Alan Combs was the voice of reason. And then he left the show, and it just became Sean Hannity. And I used to watch Greta Van Susteren and Bill O'Reilly. And I could I could see where that network was going, because I used to send emails to Bill O'Reilly all the time. And, in fact, he read four of my emails on the air.
Oh, good.
I let him know, everybody is not a stupid idiot, and we don't believe everything you say. And finally, it just got so far to the right that I had to quit watching it. I couldn't watch Fox anything anymore.
Yeah, and you know what? When I had Fios back in some years back, I was thinking about watching Fox News, but I said, thank God I didn't, because of the fact that I would have thought this stuff is true. You know, I would have really thought this stuff is true to this fact. But, you know, I saw Fox News for what it was when Stacey Dash had went on a couple of years ago and said this should not be a Black History Month. Girl, if you don't get yourself... You know, if there was no Black History Month, your behind would not even be relative. And, you know, and you see what her career is like today, you know?
Mm-hmm. You get these, what I call lackeys or Uncle Toms or whatever they are, bootlickers, who so desperately want to be accepted by the majority race, so they will do anything. They will stoop to any low level, a la Herschel Walker. He's pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
To be accepted and to be included in that realm. And
mm-hmm.
this is it, Candace Owens. You know, I'm like, what is wrong with these people?
I was going to say her. I was just going to say her. You know, she is another one who gets me kind of angry, because I don't know if you noticed, because I kind of moderate for a group on Facebook about hot topics on The View or whatever. And so, you know, I listened to this woman named Kay Shore, who I'm going to stop listening to. She has a thing about that talks about The View, whatever. So apparently Candace Owens was going to wanted to appear on The View promoting her book, and they denied her. So what happened was, she was going around bad-mouthing The View, saying that, you know, they can't handle me and all this other stuff, and You know, the one thing I think that The View is afraid to have a conservative, a hardcore conservative on the show and stuff. And there were rumors saying that for the 25th season that she was going to join the show. And that was rumors, because Candace Owens does not want to get vaccinated. And
yeah,
in order for you to... Yeah, and in order for you to work at ABC, you have to be, vaccinated. And the thing that I don't like about Candace Owens, and what really got me mad, was in the spring of 2020 when George Floyd passed away, and she said we should not be honoring a criminal and brought up his criminal history. She makes me angry. So whenever I see her, I just go the opposite way, you know?
Well, what about all the white criminals that we honor?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess she doesn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, like Donald Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump and these Confederate statues of Confederate generals or whatever, Robert E. Lee and all those folks. And we know what they stood for, but we still, I don't really mean black folks, but this country, certain people honor those people. So how is he going to take George Floyd individually and talk about his criminal past, which really was not that bad? And no matter what George Floyd had done, he didn't deserve the result of Derek Chauvin's action.
Yeah.
It's kind of like these people like Candace Owens have been coached to say that, and they'll do anything for money and love of the master.
And you know what? And I got to say this, too. About 4 years ago, I think it was, I read Omarosa's. You remember Omarosa? You remember her book? She had a biography book, which is really good. It was really good. It's called Unhinged. I tell you, that was a good book. I read that book from beginning to end. And in a way, I kind of am a fan of Omarosa, especially when she gets into it with people. I have to admit that. But it's like I don't like her, but then again, I do like her. So, but, you know, I the one thing I can respect her for is leaving Donald Trump, you know, because.
Yeah, I respect that,
but, you know, I still wouldn't trust her as far as I could, you know, throw her. But, you know, I'm glad that she realized and saw things. I'm glad, and I have much respect to her for recording him because of the fact that if she had not recorded him, they would have said that she's a liar and that she wanted money and all this stuff. So, and it just seems like, and the thing that's so frustrating about Trump is that it seemed like, he could have hardcore evidence against him, but yet people will still glorify him. I mean, people still glorify him knowing that he knew about the coronavirus before it even came.
Hello?
Hey, Bethany.
Oh, good. Thank God. I just called back in. Thank God.
Oh, good.
I have been doing all this like control work, and then I decided to call back in, and voila, I could have done that 40 minutes ago. I had no idea you guys couldn't hear me, but you all are doing a great job. Great for you two to get to know each other.
Yes, and Michael, I'm really enjoying you. Nice to have met you, but I'm going to go on and get off the phone because Beth, it's news time. And you know I'm a news junkie, and I'm going to watch the game. So y'all have a wonderful
and Cousin
show.
Linda.
Cousin
Linda, I'm glad you mentioned that because they're saying now Super Bowl COVID concerns. The estimated crowd of 150,000 gathering in Los Angeles. So I wonder why they were concerned, how they were planning to handle that. So they say they do have COVID concerns. So, so that's what they're talking about now, ABC.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting ready to watch. I'll talk to y'all next week. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Bethany? Hello? Bethany?
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
Hello? Hello? So that was really great talking to Bethany's cousin. I think Cousin Linda was her name. And so, yeah, it was really fun. And I hope that everybody has fun watching the Super Bowl. And, yeah, I mean, right now we're having some technical difficulties, but yeah, I just wanted to say I had fun talking to Bethany and her cousin Linda and everything. So yeah. So to all the listeners, I hope that you have a happy Valentine's Day with full of love. So. You all take it easy, and many blessings to Bethany and her cousin Linda.
kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
This is a message from the CDC. Travel increases your chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. Take steps to protect yourself and others. Wear a mask that completely covers your nose and mouth. Masks are required on planes, buses, trains, and other forms of public transportation traveling into, within, or outside of the U.S. and in U.S. transportation hubs such as airports and stations. Stay at least 6 feet away from others. Wash your hands often and watch for symptoms of COVID-19. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19travel to learn more.